What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lady Lou. Y'all already know y'all tuned into Poverty Talk Podcast. Tonight, I actually have a guest coming on to drop some poetry on us. So we're going to have a relaxed episode tonight, but we are going to talk about, of course, poverty and some other things, you know, getting to know the artist that's coming on. That's Miss Kia Creativity Speaks on Instagram, and she's actually the winner of my I Hate Me poem challenge I did last year. Just, you know, I wanted to do some shadow work with some writers just to see if they could possibly, you know, tell a story on how they have overcome their traumas and the things that they hated about themselves or the things that they hate about themselves. So that was a really successful challenge, and, you know, Miss Kia was the winner. So she was rewarded. And she's been doing, you know, poetry before then, but she's been doing a lot of stand-up. So I wanted her to come on tonight and just, you know, drop some jewels on us. So y'all stay tuned in. We're going live soon. Peace. Hey, Kia. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So you guys, I introduced you guys to Kia. I let you know that she was coming on tonight's episode. And we're going to get right into it, because y'all know how I do it. I got my glass of wine, and I just want to say peace and blessings to you. Thanks for coming on, because this is like the second time we have connected. You were the winner of the I Hate Me challenge last year. So I really appreciate you being a part of that, and I want to thank you again for coming on the show. As you know, you are.
Thank you for having me both times. I definitely do.
Thank you. I'm sorry for cutting you off. As you know, you on Poverty Talk Podcast, so I have to ask first, what is your definition of poverty?
My definition of poverty for me would be having peace in a community where it's nothing but violence and broken homes and broken families, you feel me? Like, around me, I just need peace and happiness. So for me, poverty would be a major change, like something, a major change to me. Not just in my community, within my life, within my environment, everywhere around me.
Okay. I can feel that. I feel strongly about it. As you can see, as you know, we do follow each other on Instagram. But, you know, like, so give us some background before we get into this poetry, because I really want to get into that. I want the people to hear you. I want people to hear your story. You know, I need my audience to understand the importance of expressing ourselves through music, through poetry, through writing, all those things that that helps us overcome the traumas and the things that we experience, you know, living in poverty. So just give me, you know, because I don't think we actually got, you know, that deep into a conversation where I know we had a little detail about each other, but not that much. So just tell the people, you know, a little about yourself, what part of Philly you from.
Well, my poetry name, I go by Kia Moore, but my real name is Kiara. I'm 21. No, I come from a big family. I took a lot of losses in life, and that's where my passion for writing come from. I had a lot of pain built up, a lot of aggression, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of hurt that I was too young to know how to deal with on my own. I lost my mom at a young age, so I had to learn how to grow up very, very fast, you know. So through my writing and through my music, I tend to let all of my emotions flow, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, I let them all go. And when I write it on the paper, I can feel any emotion in reality, but when I write it on paper, I can turn it into something beautiful, and that's where my passion with writing comes from.
Okay. And you know, I'm glad you said that, turning it into something beautiful, because growing up, you know, we see a lot of ugly, and it's a lot of us that find strength and finding the good in something. And all the bad that we see, you know, we find that strength to still, you know, see the sunshine the next day, you know, to keep a smile on our faces, to keep going, because we have that hope, we have that, you know, that love for self and that love just that for life, that one day things are going to change, things is going to smooth itself out. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, growing up in Philly is just like, it's a bittersweet kind of thing. You don't really want to leave your city, but you really, you know, it poverty kind of forces you out, you know, because we grow up in it. If we had the choice to not grow up in it, it wouldn't be that bad, I don't think, for us to want to live here, you know. But since we came from it from birth, you know, we're fighting out, you know, tooth and nail, hand and foot, we're fighting out this motherfucker.
Yep, and that's exactly how. And that's exactly how it is. I feel as though if you want something in life, enough to want to go chase it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I just hope that all of us, if not most of us, find that and understand, you know, nothing is going to be given to you. There are no handouts. You know, the things that are handed to you, you know, it's something in return has to happen. There are no fair exchanges in America. There are no fair exchanges in the hood when it comes to Black people, period.
Exactly.
So I get it. I understand it. And, you know, I really appreciate those who find the outlet to do something different, to not become a cancer in our communities. You know, we all got our shit with us, but if you live every day to just blatantly be a, you know, destruction, I can't fuck with you. Whether you Black, or whatever.
And it doesn't matter what your race is. If
yeah,
you bring,
it doesn't. It really fucking doesn't. Because, you know, it's niggas in every race. You understand what I'm saying? So let's get into this poetry. Let us know, you know, this poetry you about to give us. Let us know what it's about. Where did it come from? Like, how deep into the stomach did this come from?
So so you asked me for two poems. I'm going to give you two.
I did.
The first one I'm gonna give to you guys is called Heart to Heart. I was just in my I was down, you know, I was down North Carolina, and I was sitting in a park one day, and I was just thinking to myself, like, how would life be if my heart could hear what my heart could feel what my ears was hearing, or my ears could hear what my heart was feeling, you know, because you know your mind and your heart. You're never going to get them one accord too often. And the second one I got for you guys is called What is Love? I wrote this when I was a little girl. So I was like about 12, 13 when I wrote this. And when my family heard it, they was like, whoa.
You know, that's a little too much, little girl.
Yeah, because the words that I speak in it, you know, it's a little bit too advanced. I've always been an overly advanced writer growing up, so my words are always more advanced than they should have been as a child. So it wasn't more so about sex, it was more so about what you feel. But the words that you speak, you're gonna think sex soon as I start speaking the poem, but it's not about sex.
Y'all hear that?
It is about
sex at 12 years old, you guys.
It is about passion and pleasure, but the passion and pleasure that I was speaking of was not sexual.
Okay.
So let me get into this first one. Heart to heart. Heart to heart and ear to ear. We feel but we don't say. We hear but we don't listen. Why is it that when we speak, our words feel outspoken? We love while being loved. Others love without being loved or even know how it happens. Me, I see what I shouldn't. Feel pain that I don't understand. I love so many, but I feel loved by just a few. Rumors being spread, although they aren't true. Heart to heart and ear to ear. The truth may hurt, but does it really outweigh the lies? If lies bring even more pain when the truth is set free. With my heart to my heart and my ear to my ear, and my ear to my ear, can I hear what my heart feels? Can my heart feel the things that my ears hear? I wish my mind and heart stayed on the same page. It's like my heart says yes when my mind says no. My mind says go, and my heart says stop. Emotional secrets, spiritual pain, Hidden Souls, But Faith Was Holds, Heart to Heart, and Ear to Ear by Kia Moore.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get my damn snacks on. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Let's get into it, people. Let's get into it. First of all, what was you doing writing about that at 12 years old?
No, I wasn't. No. Heart to Heart, I didn't write that when I was 12. I actually wrote that.
Oh, that was the second one. Okay. I was going to say, well, hold up now.
Heart to Heart was actually written on April the 16th when I was down in North Carolina. That was
Right. You did say that. That was my mistake. I was getting ready to say, uh-uh. See, that's why the family was like, hold up. So is a lot of your poetry about, like, love, like relationships, like the stuff you've been through, like how have your relationships been in life?
Well, like my poetry actually each poem that I write has a different meaning to me. Like I do have poems about love. I have poems about friendships. I have poems about just life in general, you know. As you know, the poem that I submitted to your poetry competition, I Hate Me, that I actually won, you know.
Yes.
That one was actually very much about how I felt growing up as a child, you know. I felt like I was the outcast. Even though at times I wasn't the outcast, I still felt that like I was the outcast because my mind showed me one thing when my heart was trying to show me another one. And then growing up, I do have some poems about anger and sadness because growing up, I did go through a lot of things, you know, I did a lot of different traumas that as a child growing up, I was trying to overcome. And as I said previously, I used my writing to overcome those things.
Exactly. And that's what it's about. It's about overcoming those things. It's about doing that shadow work, as we would say in the spiritual world. It's about doing that shadow work to understand, hey, you know, unfortunately, this is the shit that we have to go through. You know, living in a hood and not knowing. Or, you know, we have our grandparents that didn't know, their parents that didn't know, you know. And it doesn't go back that far of not knowing. That's the thing. So now we're in a time where we're starting to know and we're starting to be able to identify ourselves and who we are, what we represent, you know, just the culture overall. And one gift that we have is that rhythm, that tune. We have that gift. We are born with that gift. So whether you're putting it in music and writing, as far as poetry and art, as you know, being a painter or whatever, Black people express ourselves. We have ways, many ways, created 100,000 ways to do it. You know, and poetry has been out before I can remember. It goes back like really deep. It goes back really deep and it takes a real life passion. And I don't think that it's something that you can actually wake up and decide, hey, I want to be a poet. I think it's in you.
Yeah, for me,
to be a writer.
What I can say is I actually have been writing since I was about 5 years old.
I agree. So have I. You know, and it got to the point where my family was like, yo. And even when I was writing music, you know, because I was doing music before I decided to play the background because of the things that I, you know, like journalism was like my biggest thing growing up. Like I just wanted to be like that biggest journalist. And I feel like doing the podcasting is the same thing. You know, I'm living that dream. I'm living through that journalism dream to connect with all people all over the world, different platforms, different things, but to focus on what I love the most, and which is music and writing. So I really, you know, I think it's a therapy as well.
It definitely is. It's definitely a mind, a soul therapy, and it's definitely a spiritual therapy. I mean, not a spiritual therapy.
It can be.
As well,
like, it can be. If you haven't practiced that in that way now, tonight, or like right now, then that'd be a note taken. How am I connecting? You are connecting spiritually in your writing. And it can be a spiritual therapy when you're writing about, you know, things that you've been through, traumas that you went through. And once you put it down on paper and you give it up, you know, you don't necessarily have to ever say it again or write a poem about it. It can just, you know, put it out to the public. You can write a poem, put put it in there and burn it and or, you know, release it into the ocean, you know, during a prayer or something. So think about that. It can definitely be that for you because it's already working because you have it in you to put it down and to stand up in front of all those people.
Which is very, very hard because I have stage fright.
Because, you know, when we speak about our truth, we become vulnerable. You know, we become vulnerable and we're not sure if people are going to be judgmental, but it's something in us that says, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is us. And we do it. And I love it. And that's why I promote my people to this extent. I'll hold you down, but I'll hold you accountable as well. But I love holding you down more. Because, you know, I love it. So, so what part of Philly are you from?
Well, that's major. I'm actually from east side of Germantown.
What is east side of Germantown?
But around Germantown and Morton.
Okay. Oh, wait.
Yeah, around that section.
Okay. You in the area?
Yeah.
Okay. What high school did you go to?
I was homeschooled. It was horrible. I went to a girls' high school. The last fun time I had in school was going to Roosevelt. That was my years right there. Those years was golden.
Speaking of school, what do you think? I wanna talk to you because I know we share like some of the same common grounds. But what do you think about homeschooling? Because you were homeschooled like back then when everybody was going public school. And with the COVID and everything that's been going on with that, a lot of the children, well, all of the children have been placed into homeschooling situations. And I see a lot of complaints from the parents. Some are really happy to have the children home. And then you have those single moms that are, you know, can't afford really to have the children home. You know, they're getting back to work because that's how they pay the bills. Things, you know, things are kind of up and out with this COVID thing. You don't know if you should be at work or shouldn't be at work. So what do you think about that now? Like, what?
I mean, I feel as though with me for the homeschooling now, like, it's nothing because I actually tutor my nephew right now because he's homeschooled. I think it's harder for them now than it was for me because of the simple fact is that for us being when you actually homeschool, the actual homeschool websites, they're very much organized. Like, you have your classes at a certain time. They have some of the homeschools, they have alarms that go off on your computer to let you know that you have a class at this time. Now you just, it's just so disoriented and unorganized. You know, the homework is everywhere. The subjects, it's nothing is equaling up to what it's supposed to. It's very much, I feel like it's very much harder for the kids to learn now because of the simple fact is that y'all took them from being in a brick and mortar school where they're originally used to and just threw them in the school like, hey, y'all going to be here for now. And now y'all, instead, without showing them how to actually work it before y'all put them there. Like, y'all had plenty of time before COVID started to show these babies while being in school work the websites because of the simple fact is that every school has a computer class. Not only does every school have a computer class, every school has extra laptops that can go into a classroom for these kids. Hey, you know, let me show you how to work this portal. This is how you guys are going to be dealing with this until COVID is over. But y'all just took them from regular school and then tossed them laptops and put them home. Then for the parents, I feel like it made it even harder for a lot of the parents because COVID already made it harder for us to work. Like, it made it hard for us to find jobs because a lot of people don't want to hire because you don't know who you're going to bring in if they sick or not. A lot of people don't want to take the vaccine. A lot of people don't want to take the test, which is very much understandable because we don't know what we're putting in our bodies.
Exactly.
And then parents have jobs, so y'all just making them stay home. And a lot of these people don't have jobs where they can sit on a computer all day. A lot of these people actually have to get up and go into facilities to work for 8 to 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Who's going to watch their kids? That takes extra money out of their pocket if they have to find someone to watch the kids.
I agree. I have decided to be a stay-at-home mom before the COVID-19 thing happened, but it still has the same struggles. And I feel like even with me having a good relationship with my children and, you know, them being, you know, academically, you know, advanced in school, it didn't make it any easier for me to have them at home. One, because they have more distractions. Mm-hmm. I feel like the things that we, like, I have personally complained about how the school system has, you know, come off a little, you know, prison-like, I really started to see that maybe I was taking some of those things advantage, like taking advantage of some of those things, you know, like just to can, like you said, the classes being on time, the students knowing exactly where they're supposed to be, because there's times where they're online in the morning and then I'm like, well, what is it, break time? Oh yeah, we're on break again.
Exactly, like
you know, so yeah, like this week they don't even have school Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm like, okay, this must be like report card time because I just got, you know, grades the other day. So you know, even my kids complain, like they miss the activity, they miss being, you know, the socialism of being in school, you know, being having that one-on-one with the teachers, having a one-on-one interaction with the other students, because that helps them learn as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what I also feel like. I feel like this was a wake-up call to the Black community, because a lot of us should have been more hands-on with our fucking kids.
Exactly.
You know, so when you see the girls, some of the women that you see complaining, you'd be like, well, prior to this home, girl, you was in a fucking bar every weekend. You know what I'm saying? Or you was always something like, yeah, like I didn't even know you had kids. You know, so if you didn't have that structure already in the household, it's kind of hard to. And even when you do, it's still a challenge. It has been a challenge for us all, but it should have been a bigger wake-up call to the Black community about the contact and the time that we spend with our children, with their education, how much time we spend with them paying attention to the shit that they do, you know, because it's been times where I'll tell mine or ask mine, you done homework or you finished this? Yeah. And then I get a report card like progress, and then the shit ain't adding up. Oh, now I gotta look after you a little bit more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the challenges you have as a parent, you know, and this COVID-19 shit really should have like woke us up.
Like for me being in homeschool, it was better for me to be in homeschool at the time, because of the simple fact is that, as everyone knows, I was a very reckless child. I mean, it wasn't even just like being reckless. It's the environment that you're in. It's the things that you see. It's the people that you're around. Everybody has moments. Even adults, we still, as adults, learning how to grow. Every day you still learn how to grow. So sooner or later, you go through some things. At times you get tired. Sometimes you overcome being tired and you just say, fuck it. And you're going to move on to the next obstacle, because in life, you're going to have a lot of different obstacles. The closer you get to your destiny and the closer you get to your dreams, you're going to have more downfalls. You're going to have more hard days. You're going to have more sleepless nights, more tears in your eyes, more people.
For sure. Trouble. For sure.
You're going to lose a lot of family. You're going to lose a lot of friends, because in the end, whether it's in life, whether it's in your success, whether it's in death, you can't take everybody with you.
Oh, no. And everybody ain't going. Believe me when I tell you. I have like a list of motherfuckers that ain't going.
And then homeschool for me was one of those obstacles that I had to overcome, because I had to be in homeschool to really see what I was not, like, to really see in life that I wasn't missing too much with the fighting scene, with the always in something and the drama. I wasn't missing nothing, but what I did miss being in homeschool was being able to go to lunch with my friends, you know, being able to play sports, because I was a very good basketball player. Like, I played basketball every day. You never seen me. It wasn't a day that you didn't see me playing basketball. Even if I was on punishment, I still snuck out to play basketball, ride my skateboard, or ride my bike. It didn't matter. I was a very active child. That right there for me was a very big wake-up call, because it was like, you was so bad in school that you had to be in homeschool and you missed out on everything that you really wanted. Because for me, I wanted to go to college for psychology and journalism, but I also wanted to play basketball in college. Me being in homeschool took the advantage of me playing basketball from me. I could have been somewhere in the in a good college playing for right. a basketball right. team, but me be having to be in homeschool, that took something from me, because being on a computer all day, how much interaction do you really get outside?
Exactly.
Even being in the house on a computer while you're supposed to be in school, you still on Facebook, you still playing games, you still watching TV. You're not even paying attention to what the teacher's saying, because you really don't have that hands-on actions unless your parents are actually active in the household on your ass, making sure that you're doing this and actually helping you.
And they have changed, you know, I wouldn't say change, but they have created stricter laws, stricter rules for the online. You have to be present. You have to be in class. You have to be on the computer. They have to actually see you, because we have students that are not in class still, you know, and I can really sympathize with that, because it's some households where children come to school as, you know, because that's a safety net. You know, those few hours in school, they eat. Those few hours in school, they're not being abused sexually, mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever. Exactly. You know, we have these things that's going on in a household where these children feel safe coming to school. So when you do that and you don't set anything in place to assist the families, you know, because the counselors know, you know, they know who's in trouble and whatever, like it's no check-ins. Are the counselors checking in the homes to make sure the children are safe, to make sure the children are in class? I know sometimes the teachers call us, they send us emails, you know, my kids are like middle schoolish. So it's a bit more communication, and it's also up to me to communicate with them. So it's just like, it's really troubling to know that it is some children at home that just are not getting the right, you know, help that they need and assistance. You know, I just had somebody that I know, they bought a laptop off of somebody. And when I seen it, I was like, this is not even a regular laptop. This came from somebody's child, because it looked like the same laptops that my kids have. And I'm like, it's deep out here. Somebody that sold or stole a child's laptop. And I'm automatically thinking that baby's missing school. You know, we have real life shit that goes on in the hood. And this COVID-19 thing, you know, keeping everybody inside and the children not being able to go to school. It's a 50-50 thing. I think homeschooling should be a more, you know, willing thing. I think we should have more homeschools, like more homeschooling parents and children in the homes, definitely, for sure. But there has to be some kind of outlet where the child still has a social life. You know, for you to have to give up basketball, your dream, something that you definitely know that you're good at, gifted with, you had to give that up based off of the restrictions of your parents, unfortunately, and what they wanted for you.
Even though it was the restrictions of my parents for me to go to homeschool, I do understand the point and where they came from with putting me in homeschool, because, as I said, I wasn't disobedient. I was very much misunderstood, but my actions, I definitely have to hold myself accountable for, because I did spend 7th and 8th grade just doing nothing besides fighting. I was definitely an honor roll student. Don't get me wrong. My grades, all of my life, my grades have always been good. I've never, ever, you know, I've never been a dumb student. But as far as the fighting and the behavior is concerned, I was always a behavior concern. So I do feel like I was restricted to playing basketball, but I do feel like before my mother passed away, she did make a better option for me to put me in homeschool, because I feel like if she didn't put me in homeschool, I probably would be playing basketball. But on the other hand, I probably would be dead, because all I did was fight.
She did it to protect you, no doubt. She did it to protect you.
And it was like, definitely. It was like after she passed, I a lot of things in me had to mature. Like, I had to realize I don't have her anymore, so mommy can't always save me. I can't go to mommy to get this. I can't go to mommy to get that. And my dad, he was never in my life. So I know who he is, but he doesn't play a major part like how my mom did. So for me, it was after my mom passed away, that was a major wake up call. Like, you gotta fix a lot of stuff in your life. And now,
I'm sorry about
now
that.
Now it's like my anger. I'm learning how to control my anger, but at times I'm only human. At times I'm gonna get tired. At times I'm gonna explode, you know. But it's all in how I go about the situation that determines the type of person that I am.
And let me tell you, because how old are you? How old are you?
21.
You're 21. Okay. I'ma just tell you, as your old head, as somebody that sees you, believes in you, and I didn't come in contact with you for no reason. You know, there has been a few young girls in my life where, not even just young girls, old women, you know, I come from that. I come from the streets. I come from, you know, a broken home. My mother was always there in the physical, mental, spiritually, emotionally, I'm not so sure, you know? And that's another episode. This is about you tonight. But I just want to tell you, as a 21-year-old, to be able to acknowledge who you are right now and the things that you want, the things that you may or may not regret. And I'm going to tell you, basketball, if that's what you love, that don't, just because you weren't able to play as a kid doesn't mean that dream is over. If that's something that still lays on your heart, then you need to get to it. Whether you create a career for yourself in basketball, or you create an organization where you're helping other children that love basketball as much as you do, but you don't give up on that dream just because that situation happened then. You never give up. Because when you're talking to me right now, you seem really, really passionate about it. And I just want to tell you, you know, as your old head, you got to keep it going. You got to stay positive, and you got to listen to your gut. You got to stick to your morals. No matter what you went through or what your parents did, and your daddy wasn't there, neither was mine. You hear me? I'm a fatherless daughter too. I just got a relationship with my father, or allow him in my life at 30. Okay, I ain't going to tell the rest. Okay?
We women will tell our real ages.
It came with healing. It came with healing from him and my mother. You know, we can be one-on-one and I can really give it to you. So I'm telling you that at 21, if you're putting your passion into your writing, into your music, and you are shadow working and you are coming to grips with who you are and you have accepted it, you stand on that shit and you keep it moving, you set your boundaries and you put you first, and that's it. You keep standing up in front of the world and telling them your story, because every time you do, you save a life. Every time you do, you save a life. And I'm telling you that because that's my belief as well, because somebody changed my life. You know, the person that changed my life is no longer here. Rest in peace to my best friend, Amia Spratley. But it happens that way. And you young, you already got it. So I want you to give us, you know, your last poem, your second poem of the night, so we can close this out. I don't want to get too emotional, because I do.
Oh, my God.
But I just want to wish you the best of luck. If you have any upcoming events, tell the people about it. Let them know where they can book you for poetry events, you know, emails, ads, all that kind of thing.
Before I get into this next poem, I'm going to let you guys know, you can follow my Instagram page at Kiamor_speaks. That's spelled KIAMOR_, you know, speaks. You feel me? You can book me for poetry events. I also do writing, so I charge a low fee, you know, college essays. I do help with kids with school if you need a tutor. What else? I do have a poetry event coming up on December 19th. that'll be on the Zoom. So I'll be keeping that posted on my poetry page. Also, you can keep up. You can keep up with me on my poetry page, and I'll get into this next poem. You ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
Of course.
We ready.
What is love? Now, keep in mind, I wrote this when I was 12, 13.
Yeah, I'm ready to take off the belt. I'm ready.
What is love? Is it just a passion? Is it just a feeling or a passion that you have with your significant other? Will I ever feel it or be a statistic outdoing it anything and everything to feel love from another? With body-to-body feelings, opening up my heart and getting hurt again. And with so much compassion. With a broken heart that's filled with anger and fury. What is love? The only real love I've ever known was found inside of my close friends and my family members. As women, we always think that every man will love us, especially when he wants one simple thing. Some women even end up single parents because a man fed them nothing but fairy tale dreams. Some people say that once you get through the false love, the blessings is that you'll find true love. You find your soulmate. Your heart feels whole. Your spirit is said to be set free. Love has its ups and downs, but only real love makes it through. So when true love finds me, we'll always have this question. What will love be? By Kian Moore.
Okay. Excuse me. First of all, that was deep. That was deep.
I was just a baby.
Wow. 12 years old. 12 years old. You was watching too much 7 Heaven or something. Too much TV. What was going on at 12? How did you know about love? What feeling at that moment about love was you feeling? Was it just like a love that you were getting? Because you mentioned like your family, your parents, like, was it that kind of love? Or did you see relationships? Like, was it your dad wasn't around, so that kind of went into that, being in there. But 12 years
for
old?
For me, it was like, when I was 12, I had took two major losses. Like, at 7 years old, my uncle passed away on Valentine's Day. Then when I turned 12, my other uncle passed away 3 days before my older sister's birthday. So it was like, I knew I had love for my family. And then I had a very close friend of me. He passed away. He had mental illness, and the reason he passed away, it's gonna make me cry to explain. But at 12 years old, I knew a lot about love that I shouldn't knew about love. As a child, I was hurt. My innocence was taken from me. My childhood was ripped from me fast without me understanding why. For years, I felt like I was the cause of the things that happened to me.
Hashtag me
and
too.
Then I had to really realize, you baby girl, like, this, you're not the problem. Like, people did what they did to you because of something within them that makes them hate themselves.
That's right.
So because they hate themselves, they have no better intentions but to put it on the next person to make them insecure too. I was insecure as a child, and as an adult I still have insecurities, but I'm learning how to get over them because I learned how to maneuver around being insecure as a child. And when I was 12, that poem came from like me wondering, was the only love that I'll ever feel gonna come from my friends and my family, or was I ever gonna find love? Which I actually did. Like, I'm very, very much happy right now. Like,
very, very happy. Harry, first of all, she was like, as I'm speaking.
Let me throw that in there. I'm very much happy right now.
Let me tell y'all about my boo. That's what's up. I'm happy for you. That's what's up. I'm so happy for you. Because let me tell you, what we go through is what we grow through. And when you are happy and that person is, you know, bringing more good into your life and speaking life into you and giving you life, That's all that matters. Like, that really, that's what all that matters. We're going to go through hurt. It's going to hurt. It's never been easy. When has it ever been easy for us? It's never been easy because it was never set up to be easy. It was never set up to easy. That's that. It separates the sheep from the wolves when you go through stuff. That's and sometimes the small things show you the bigger thing.
Everything, and it's,
you know,
and it's so for me to be where I'm at right now in my new relationship and be as happy as I am. A year ago, I would never think I would be right here because prior to the relationship I'm in right now, I spent 5 years with my ex. Like, at one point in time, I was happy. Then we got older, we outgrew each other. So it was like, oh, argument here, argument there, argument there, argument there. I'm crying. I'm crying. My ex is leaving. I'm crying. I'm begging my ex. I had to learn, sis, you're not about to keep going through this with the same little dummy. I always have love for that person from a distance, and I'm never gonna speak ill on their name. But as far as I'm concerned, we outgrew each other, and there's no friendship, nothing's for us to be had. But for me to go through that, well, for me to get where I am right now, well, what I'm trying to say is, for me to get where I am right now and be happy in this relationship, I had to go through all of the bad, the good, and the ugly in my old relationship. And everybody does. Like, you're going to have situation, even in life, you're going to have good jobs, you're going to have bad jobs, you're going to have good friends, you're going to have bad, you're going to have family that stay, you're going to have family that walk away, you're going to have moments where you feel like you hate yourself, you feel like you love yourself, so in life, you always got to go through something to get through something.
That's right. That's right. And the fact that you have that at 21, I'm telling you, at 21, I had it, right? That people, my teachers, even younger than that, my teachers, principals, the same principal that was suspending my ass used to tell me, Miss Henry, you are a bright student. You are a bright girl, but you are laying it to shit because you can't stay out of trouble. I had it, but I wasn't clear of the mission because of the relationships I encountered, the relationships I witnessed as far as my parents. I didn't have it, but I had it. And my old heads would tell me, strangers would tell me and say, you got something. And I will hear this not taken from me. So when you able to identify those things, you already know the game. You already know what you're dealing with from the beginning. You ain't got to waste time with anything. You can shut it down because you're seeing it. And you can't just pretend that you don't see it. See, that's what kills us, that being naive. Pretending that thinking we can change things. Thinking that we can change men. Thinking that we can change women, thinking that we can change ourselves. No, sometimes the shit is just what it is. At 21, baby girl, if you got that already, I'm telling you, you're going places. And you need to keep writing and keep putting it on paper. Let the world hear it. Ain't nothing wrong with a loud black girl, okay? Yep. And don't let them tell you it is. It's a time and place for everything. So you don't miss that message either. When it's time for your voice to be heard, you let them hear it every single time. I appreciate you for coming on the show. With your girl, Lady Lou. Y'all already know. Y'all know I get into it, and y'all know I don't play, and I'm passionate about this shit, and I know a lot of times, like, I be off the grid, but I'm working, y'all. I'm working, and I have, like, so many things that I want to put out there and so many things I have to tell you guys about. And I will. I'll probably, like, do a little small trailer or something to let you guys know, like, all the updates and the things I'm doing. But make sure y'all follow my girl, the I Hate Me Challenge winner. Wait, Keith, first of all.
Yes.
So do you have two Instagram pages? I'm gonna cut this out.
Yes, but don't follow them. I'm gonna let y'all know right now. I'm a whole nother person on my main page. So don't follow that one. Don't do that.
That shit is, you know, shit is what it is out here. What you see is what you get. Don't second guess yourself and go for it. It ain't nothing else to do out here at 21 years old but to live your life. No. Do you have children? And okay, do yes. you want children? Okay, that's cool.
Get my stuff together
one
first.
When you about 34. Establish yourself that I wish somebody would have gave me the game. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I don't regret my children. I love my children. But I wish somebody would have gave me the game and told me that a relationship wasn't the only thing that I was capable of, or a relationship wasn't the only thing that I had. Having relations is cool. You know how many people are in relationships and they don't have children and they built and they done bought houses together and now they're creating families because now they have a foundation?
Yeah, and I want to be one of them. I want to build a sturdy foundation. Like,
I'm telling you, and I'm not talking about the rent or the rent to own, because look at the world around you and what place is taken in. It's not that. You 21 years old. It's too many outlets open for y'all to be getting money. Y'all be getting money together. A baby ain't got to have shit to do with it. Not saying that y'all not going to have a baby, but what about living life together before the baby comes? What about living for each other before the baby comes? I'm telling you. I'm telling you how I told myself that was going to be the thing. I'm 3 babies in, honey. And they 13, 10, and 10 months. So, shit, tomorrow. He be 10 months tomorrow.
Oh, my God, time flies so fast.
King is 10 months, right? And I'm telling you, and it's so crazy because, like, now I have an apartment, like, I can do those things with. Like, I can live the rest of my life turning the fuck up if I wanted to, rich living, because he's just like me in a lot of ways. Like, I don't have to be, like, looking for a partner or call my girlfriends up, like, yeah, come out with me. Even though
I mean, it's always
shit.
Good. Girls on the safe side.
I'll be in the house.
He got his friends too, so we always got to keep our girls in the pocket.
Thank you. Like, my parties be in the house though.
Yeah, mine's
at 21, I had just had my first child. At 21, I was in my first apartment. I was working at a front end manager at Save-A-Lot on 46 and Brown, and I just had my first child at 21 years old. And even at 21, the way I was raised, I thought that was a big deal. You feel what I'm saying? The things that I seen in the hood where everybody's pregnant 15, 16 years old, I thought 21 was a big deal. Not giving myself a chance to really live.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I love my fucking daughter. Once they told me, I was like, oh, what's on? My baby coming? I didn't even know who the hell she was. Brother. Like, I didn't even know. I just was like, oh, yeah, it's going down. I thought I was in love. You know, that's just how it was. But I tell my little sister the same thing. My little sister is a little older. Not little. She 23 with a little bony ass.
You know, that's something my big sister would say if she was in my room right now.
She is, you know, the same. She's working. She do her little, you know, work at the bar. She do her little hookah stuff. She's not fast. She like me. She know a lot of people and things like that. I tell her the same thing. Like, I'm real known. So if something fishy was going on with her, I would know about it. Her name good. She keep her name good. And y'all young girls, and y'all know what y'all want. And y'all doing it. Like, period. And that's what I appreciate. And that's what I like to see. And anytime I come in contact with young females or young males, it don't matter. When I see the black girl or the black boy, my spirit don't allow me to do anything but to connect. I know my purpose on this earth, and I know your purpose, and I'm pushing.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I'm definitely appreciative.
Thank you, Ashe. You know what I mean? What's survival? Bite the neck off that motherfucker. All right.
To tell you guys a little about myself, I'm 21. I'm 21. I actually come from a big family. You know, my writing comes from a lot of the things that I've been through in life, you know, like different trials and tribulations that I had to find different ways to overcome. I lost my mom at a young age, so at a young age I had to learn how to be not only my own mother, but learn how to be my own woman as well.
Losing your mom, when you say becoming your own woman, the trials and tribulations got harder. You had to understand life and responsibilities different, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to put that out there. Let's get into it.
Like, for me, before losing my mom, it was like I was running around. I was fighting all the time. I didn't care about nothing. I didn't care about nobody. But after I lost my mom, it was like an eye-opener for me. You know, I had to stop doing certain stuff that I was doing, stop hanging with certain people that I was hanging with. And I had to really teach myself, like, it's either you going to grow and make something out of yourself after this, or you going to fall and become nothing after this. So my motto in life is I stand for nothing before I fall for any and everything.
Express to Kia how powerful she is and how inspirational she is, not to only me with my old ass, but to the young girls in the generation that's in her generation, you know, my daughter's generation that's coming, you know, behind her, the generation that she's raising. You know, we need empowering young girls, you know, the youth, the young adults, the young moms, you know, the young Brendas and such. Guys that don't know, she is the winner of the I Hate Me Challenge, poem challenge that I had last year. But she's just very strong. She's very, she has a lot of gratitude with her, a lot of humbleness with her. And to speak to women, young women in her generation at this age, to have that clear mind, clear set mind frame where they know what they want, they know what they're doing in life, you know, they have manifested their next move, it's far-fetched nowadays. You know, you can't even get these young girls to cook a meal nowadays, you know? So it's really real to have young girls like you. And I've told you, you remind me a lot like myself when I was at your age, because this is who I was and this is where I am now, where I'm using my voice to empower others because somebody gave me that opportunity. But, you know, I was already out there. I already had that Black woman stance. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that about you. And I want these guys to know that, the new listeners, the people that missed the last EP, to get that feel and to get to know who you are as a young woman, as a Black woman, and as a poet. So if you want to get into your art and drop these jewels, I'm shutting up.
I got you. So I'm pretty sure you want me to redo the ones that I did on the last EP, you feel me? So.
I do, okay, I do. And I promise you, when I get on, I promise you I'm going to pay you. I promise you. Like, I love you guys so much because I wouldn't be who I am without you being who you are and, you know, other people that believe in the same things. We all on the same frequency, so we understand the trials and tribulations and the things that happen. And even then, sometimes you'd be like, man, I ain't got time. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I couldn't be mad. That's a flaw. Or that's something I got to clean up as a businesswoman. But these are the things that makes me keep going. These situations, you know, make me, you know, keeps me strong. It makes me stronger as a woman, as an entrepreneur, as a speaker, because you guys don't give up on me. And that's what makes me strong. And you let them know, because when the next one come on, I still got my belt. I still have my belt from the second one. So you let these guys know exactly what we about to get into and what it means to you and how it was rooted.
Okay. So the first one I'm going to get into with you guys, you know, it's called I Hate Me, which is the poem that I won on her competition around this time last year. It was more so about like society and how society treats us as Black people, you know, how we get treated as Black queens, how our Black kings carry themselves instead of rather to be the kings and the queens that are royalty within themselves. They would rather be judged by living by the stereotypes that's placed upon us. So that's basically where I Hate Me came from.
And there you have it, y'all. You already know it's your girl, Lady Lou, and you are tuned in to Poverty Talk Podcast. Thank you guys for listening in. Kia, thanks for being a guest on the show tonight. I appreciate you coming back on the podcast. To finish up our last interview, make sure you guys follow her. Make sure you're tuning in to her next poetry events. It's your girl, Lady Lou. Peace.